Welcome to the Milestones Motivation and Money Podcast, hosted by Angel Radcliffe. Tune in as we discuss finances, success stories, and inspiring vibes that will help nurture growth.
On today's show, we'll be speaking with Cindy Chang, a marketing powerhouse who has worked with some iconic brands. Cindy brings a wealth of experience and creativity from her work with empowering entrepreneurs and creatives to build their own brands from scratch while challenging industry norms along the way. Cindy, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I'm excited to have you on. And this is a topic that we have never discussed over the last few seasons of the show. I think it will be very helpful for small business owners who are listening in and people who really want to know, how do you actually introduce yourself to potential clients? And, you know, Cindy, you're a branding coach and marketing strategist. So I know that you're going to give us all the information that we need and resources that the listeners can take with them. But before we get started, I'd love to hear how your journey has brought you into entrepreneurship within this field.
Great question. I think a little bit of an interesting journey because a lot of folks that I know who come into entrepreneurship, or not a lot, but some of the folks that I know who come into entrepreneurship have always wanted to do that. Like, you know, some people just have really great ideas and have always wanted to work for themselves and always wanted to build something to call their own. And I come from a world of working 9-to-5 corporate job, and I loved it. There are certain, you know, I've been very blessed. Like, I've had a really just great career in corporate with amazing mentors. And those are things that I think have made my road really positive and enjoyable. But, you know, I worked at a variety of companies when I was coming up, when I was younger, for bigger brands like Kraft Mac and Cheese, mostly food brands. There's a European pasta brand that I also worked for. It's called Giovanni Rana. And at these larger companies, you know, some of these brands are worth millions. Some of them, like Kraft at its biggest point, was a $1 billion brand. And so you just get to work with a lot of really interesting, smart people and learn a lot of best practices as it relates to marketing, as it relates to branding. So that's kind of the world I come from. And I really enjoyed being in that world. I learned so much and just met great people. But what really led me down the road of entrepreneurship was actually COVID. During COVID, the world changed. And for me, my family, my parents, my family originally were from Taiwan. That's where I was born. And during COVID, my parents decided to retire and move back to Taiwan, which is in Asia. And I'm based in the US. And so it really just changed my perspective on what I want my life to look like, you know, in 10, 20 years of having my parents abroad and, you know, potentially caretaking for my parents, you know, whenever that may happen. And so for me, my journey towards entrepreneurship was really fueled by my desire to be able to make choices on my own terms as it relates to work-life balance, as it relates to travel, as it relates to vacation. And so that's really what drove me to leave corporate and ultimately start my own business. But I am a marketing coach, a brand coach now for other founders and business owners. And it really fills my cup to be able to help other people build their businesses and kind of like, you know, create the things that they dream of and make their mark on the world. So that's my story.
I love it. And I think COVID made so many people entrepreneurs, either voluntary or involuntarily. And there's some people who were laid off. There were so many layoffs that first year and entered the pandemic, and some people just didn't know what to do. How can you actually make more money? And some people were like, okay, let me get online and create a digital product or whatever it was. So it's almost like survival of the fittest. And then for some people working from home and not having to commute and go into the office, now you have more time in your day to commit to your business if you were already an entrepreneur. So yeah, I can definitely relate. I can say that. So, Cindy, you're helping small business owners really get out and introduce themselves to their potential clients. Is that something that you were doing in that corporate space as well? Like, I think of it as more like brand identification.
It's so interesting because I was not doing this in the corporate space, and it's actually so different. And there are things that I draw upon from my past life in corporate that help inform the way that I work with businesses and founders today. But it is very different because the resources you have are different. You know, like these are we're talking like I mentioned, like multi-million dollar brands that have budgets, marketing budgets, you know, multi-six figure marketing budgets, and a staff and a team that can do all this marketing. And the most important thing is they have an established brand already, right? And so the challenges that these established brands are facing usually are around growth and relevancy. Like, how do we continue to grow the brand and how do we stay relevant in a changing market? For a business that is earlier along in the journey, for a founder, for someone who is starting something that they have to establish the brand themselves, it's a little bit different of a challenge. Like, it's just a different challenge set. And especially with a lot of the founders that I work with, you may have a small team, you may not have a team, and you may also be a mom or a dad, you may be working another job. Like, the resources that you have are limited. And I don't just mean financially, I mean from a time and energy perspective. And so it's really important to be strategic and intentional about the way that you approach marketing yourself and introducing your brand to the world, because you just don't always have time to do it. And so it's, you know, it's a lot about understanding what works when it comes to marketing and how to build relationships strategically with the time that you have, so that you can also focus on other areas of your business or other areas of your life in addition to, you know, being the face of your brand.
You mentioned relationship building, which is super important in entrepreneurship. Well, if you have someone who's a small business owner and they don't necessarily know how to even get their brand in front of their potential clients, what advice can you give them on that relationship building aspect? What would be the first step in navigating this process?
Yeah. So what I see people do a lot, which, you know, if you're this person, no shade, like everybody does it, I do it too. But what most people do when they first have something that they want to sell, right, or make money off of, whether that's a product or whether that's a service, most people, most times, start by talking about their product or service. So I'm a brand coach. You know, I might, when I meet someone like at a networking event or something, let's just say, right, I might start talking about what I do. Hey, I'm a brand coach. I help people, you know, with marketing. But when I just say that, you know, off the cuff to somebody in quote unquote in the wild, right, that person doesn't have a great understanding of how I can help them. Like, yes, I'm a brand coach. I do marketing. But what does that really mean for them, right? So what I always like to remind people is, when you're relationship building, the most important thing is to understand who you're talking to. Who is this person that's sitting on the other side of the table, or, you know, across the bar from you, or wherever it is that you're meeting this person? Or even if you're doing this through, like, digitally, through social media or through email, like, do you know who it is that you are posting for? Do you know who it is that is on the other side opening this email? Because what you say to this person depends on who you're talking to. And so for me, I'll use myself as an example. You know, I work with founders who are early on in building their business. And so, like I mentioned, oftentimes you may be a solo founder, you may be working another job, you may have a family, you may have different responsibilities, you don't have time. What you're lacking is the time. And so I always explain that to people when I'm introducing my work, right? I paint the picture of the person that I'm helping, because I know that this person will relate to this picture that I'm painting. Like, I'm not trying to work with, you know, a CEO who has capital funding already and has a team and all of that, and is now playing in a bigger market, right? Like, that's a little bit different of a challenge. I'm working with earlier stage folks who don't have those resources yet. And so when I speak to someone, I am really intentional about painting the picture of, here's who I help. Here is what is going on in this person's life. So whenever I'm speaking about my work, people have a frame of reference. It's not just like, hey, I do marketing. It's, hey, I help this type of person, and this is what I help them with.
So it sounds like the business owner should have those key elements of the introduction already laid out, similar to an elevator pitch, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. I definitely think it helps to be prepared. What I find is some people are really good off the cuff, but always, even if you don't have like a script written out, which I don't usually have a script written out, but I do know, you know, the points that I want to hit. And what all of that comes back to is, instead of starting with what you're selling and talking about yourself, you want to start with the person you're talking to and understanding them very deeply and understanding their motivations and understanding what their life looks like and understanding how your solution fits into their life. What people care about at the end of the day is not what you can offer them and what you're selling them. What they care about is how this will impact their life. So this is what I call outcomes versus like solutions, right? People don't actually care about the solution. They care about the outcome of the solution. They care about the impact that that solution has on their life. And so the best way you can build a strong brand is to start off by knowing your customer really well. And sometimes that means asking questions. So when it comes to building relationships, if you're doing it in person, like I love to ask the other person questions and know what they do and know what they're working on before I introduce myself. Because to me, that then informs how I talk about my work to them.
And Cindy, you mentioned a script. And so in my mind, I know there are so many people who would have so much trouble memorizing a script. So, and some people can remember a few points and get their pitch done in like 30 seconds. There are some people that struggle. But how would you suggest for someone to move forward with their introduction without it sounding rehearsed? Like if they would like to sound more authentic, what advice can you give them?
Ooh, such a good question. I think it's different for everybody on how to be the most yourself in a situation, because, you know, I can share what works for me, and I know that what works for me may not work for you, just depending on how you like to navigate, you know, social situations, what makes you feel comfortable. I think it's really all about you having a good sense of what you, your brand stands for, and how you can tell that story to the other person. And so sometimes it means, you know, if you are the type of person who likes to be very prepared, sometimes it means like writing down what you're going to say, like literally word for word. And maybe you don't memorize it, but that way you have it and you read it like before an event, right? Like on your way in the Uber, or maybe when you're walking, or in the elevator on the way up, right? You read this to just ground yourself and remind yourself, okay, this is how I introduce myself. I'm a brand coach and marketing strategist. That's how, like, you know, that's what I'm going to say. And then when I think about the person that I help, like, here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say that I help founders. We don't have a lot of time. Like, just, you know, bringing up these points so you remember them, so that when you're giving the introduction on the spot, you have a little bit to go off of because it's top of mind. For some people, and for me, I don't usually write out the whole thing because that actually makes me more nervous. Like for me, that makes me kind of clam up because I'm like, oh crap. Like, you know, what was that thing that I wrote in my iPhone notes that I was reading up here? For me, I really just think about a person, like one of my clients or somebody that I know that I would love to be a client, or, you know, some made up person in my mind that I know is out there in the world that I can picture really clearly. And I think about them and I think about, okay, so this is the person I'm helping. What are they, you know, what are they thinking? What are their struggles? Okay. So then I know when I'm going into a conversation, that's the person I'm going to talk about when I talk about my work. And so really, you know, it's not probably very helpful for me to share specifically what works, because I think you have to find what works for you. But I do think the crux of it all is just understanding that it's all about talking to the person and not talking about yourself.
Those are great points. And I would like you to share with us any framework that you've come up with that can help business owners prepare as they're getting ready to walk into that next networking event or if you have any effective opening lines, like how can they just stand out and be the center of attention?
Yeah. So in terms of frameworks, something that I like to do with a lot of the folks that I work with is if you draw a triangle, right, on a piece of paper, the three points of the triangle are the three points of your brand. And so the first point is, who is your audience? This is what I call like the who. And what I mean here is not necessarily demographics, like how old they are or where they live or how much money they make. Like these are good things to know, but that's not really what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about for this is really like, who is this person? What are their values? What, like I mentioned, are the pain points in their life? What are the grievances that they have, right? Related to whatever your product and service is. So like back when I was working on food brands, I worked on a lot of convenient food brands. So things you buy in the grocery store that you can make quickly for dinner, especially if you're a parent who is coming home from work and has to now put, you know, you have like 15 minutes to turn around and make dinner for your family before the kids start screaming. Like, okay, so that's the grievance. That's the pain point. So then that's the first point of the triangle, right? So then the second point of the triangle is your product or solution. So this is like the literal thing that you offer. So when I worked on the food brands, that would be like, okay, Kraft mac and cheese is instant macaroni and cheese that you can make in, you know, like under 5 minutes. And you don't need, all you need is a pot to boil water. Like you don't need any utensils, like nothing needs to be prepared, no vegetables chopped. Like you just throw this thing in the water, right? And then you mix in the cheese. So that's the product or the solution. And then the last point of the triangle is the impact. So this is what I was coming back to earlier. So then you have your person that you're trying to help who needs something quick and easy that they can whip up, you know, with minimal effort for their family. And then you have the solution. Okay, you have this macaroni and cheese product that can be whipped up quickly with no effort. But so what is the impact of that though? How does that affect the person's life? So the impact is really, okay, so I'm a parent and I can feed my kids and everybody can be happy. I can feel good about being a parent because my kids are fed. I'm taking care of them. I can, you know, have my sanity. Like breath of relief. Like dinner is good. We're on the table. Nobody's having a meltdown because they're hangry. All right. Like I can take a breath of relief. I can just, you know, get through to the next part of my day and have some smooth sailing moments through the rest of the night. And so that's really the impact, right, of the solution. And so I like to use this as just a check-in point and a starting point with folks of when you're developing your pitch. And again, like it doesn't have to be a script. It doesn't even have to be in this framework, but those are the three points that you just want to know. And you want to know this like the back of your hand so that you can talk about it easily with people on the go, in the coffee shop, you know, in the DMs, like wherever you're meeting people, wherever you're meeting your clients. Whatever it is that you might be explaining what it is that you do, like these are the things you want to explain. Most people only explain the product. So most people are only talking about, what do? I sell convenient mac and cheese that can be made in 5 minutes. Okay, cool. But you know, what you really want to talk about is, yeah, so I do this thing where like, do you know any really busy parents? Because actually I work with them and I have this like food product that I've made for them that helps them, you know, get through the day. Like that's more what you want to be speaking to.
That's really great advice. And Cindy, one question that I wanted to ask, like as you were speaking, and I was like, okay, if you're going out at a networking event or at the coffee shop or wherever you're at, you don't necessarily know if everyone is a potential client. So how do you handle that introduction if you're not sure if you're speaking to a potential client? Do you just keep saying the same thing, using that same pitch? Or do you transition into that pitch once you find out that person is a potential client?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Another great question. So for me, I usually start by asking the other person questions because kind of like I mentioned before, I want to know what's relevant for you. Like if you are not my target client, then, you know, honestly, maybe I don't need to be talking to you. And I don't mean like be rude, but you know, like if you're being strategic with your time and you are heading to a networking event somewhere, maybe, you know, it is important for you to quickly be able to identify, okay, is this person someone that I should be investing time and having a conversation with? Or is this like, okay, small talk kind of person? Or maybe this person becomes a friend, but they don't need to be a client, right? Like, what is the, where do I take the conversation? And so I like to ask some questions when I first meet somebody, just to get a sense of who they are and get a sense of, you know, like, what's the vibe? Is this person looking for a solution, or are they here to socialize? Like, you know, what are also they looking for, right? And then just let the conversation evolve naturally from there. So then I can decide how much I want to share about my business, what I want to share. Is this the right person that I should be sharing my products and solutions with? Or is this the kind of person who, you know, maybe is going to be a mentor to me and I should be sharing my challenges? Or are they going to be a friend and we're having, you know, more of a casual conversation? Like, I like to just know. And the way that I find that out is by asking questions.
Perfect. That's a great approach. And I know some people will use their own approach or maybe figure it out a little bit later down the line. But I know it's always nerve-wracking because you don't necessarily know, you know, how you should be speaking to someone. And I know that applies to myself as well, because, you know, we spoke in the pre-show and I do a multitude of things. And sometimes I'm like, well, what should I lead with? Because I don't know how to connect with this person. Should I tell them about my side hustle? Should I talk about my day job? Should I talk about the podcast? And then sometimes it just naturally transitions a bit later. But I want to move on into digital ways of identifying clients. Like, we're in this digital age and people are using all forms of social media to target their clients, especially LinkedIn. And I use LinkedIn every day. I use it more so for branding and networking. One thing I personally can't stand is when I'm receiving all of these marketing mails, emails on LinkedIn, and someone's like, hey, yeah, I want to be your financial advisor. Are you looking to quit your job? Are you looking for a side hustle? And I'm like, I am not your target audience. Many times people will contact me saying, you know, I'm going to show you how to leave your 9-to-5 or start another gig. And I was like, well, if you took a look at my profile, you see that I have a side hustle already. So how important is it to research your potential clients before introducing yourself? And what information should that business owner prioritize?
Well, I'm just loving all the questions today. I think it's very important to research your target customer for a multitude of reasons. Like, the most basic one, honestly, being like, why would you waste your time messaging someone who is not going to be, you know, like, you're not going to be of service to them. They're not going to be of service to you because they're not going to be a client or a customer, right? So like, you would rather spend that 30 seconds or minute or whatever you spent messaging this person, you would rather message someone else who would be a good fit, right? The more work you do up front to identify who you're talking to, the more effective, first of all, your message is going to be, and the more time you save down the road, because you're actually hitting people who have a higher likelihood of actually responding to you or actually converting into a customer or a client. So I think it's really important. And I think this comes to life a lot of different ways when we think of digital marketing, right? So cold outreach is definitely a tactic that is used. And obviously that just requires you to kind of just go in and you just want to identify some criteria that, you know, are relevant for you and whatever customer you have. And so sometimes, I mean, this really just comes down to whatever solution you're offering and what the criteria is around that. But, you know, sometimes it's like, does this person look like the kind of person who is going to be able to afford whatever it is that you're selling? Does this person look like the kind of person who has the pain points that your product or service is selling for, right? Like, just doing some quick checks around that. Sometimes it means, again, like, just depending on what digital platform you're on and how you're qualifying the people that you're doing outreach to or the people that you're talking to. So like, for me, I do a lot of more kind of inbound marketing. So I don't do a lot of cold outreach, although I do work with founders and folks who do that. For my own business, I like to do more inbound, which means that I will build relationships with people that I just think are a fit. And usually what happens is they end up referring me. And so potential clients are inbound to me where I'm not doing the outreach necessarily. I'm just like putting myself in situations where they might hear of me or be introduced to me, and then they come to me. And I still qualify those people, right? Because again, like, we all have limited time and we want to be intentional with where we spend the time. And so for me, that usually looks like, you know, everyone who schedules a call with me, a discovery call, that's usually my first step. Everyone fills out a form. So I know what their business is, what are the pain points in their, these are literal questions that I have on my form. Like, what are the pain points of their business? What are your goals? Right. So before you get on a call with me, I already know these things about you and I know where to take the conversation. I also, that helps me with the selling process, right? Because now I know, okay, here are the things you're struggling with. In my mind, I know, okay, here are the things that I offer that could help this person. And so you see how setting up this form, I do it up front, but it saves me time when I actually get into the conversation. And it also helps that conversation be so much more effective because now I go into the conversation already knowing so much about this person and how I need to talk to them. So doing the work up front is really effective, and it's a great way to make your marketing and your brand and your relationship building a lot more effective once you actually get into the conversation.
That's awesome advice. And, you know, while we're on this topic of digital marketing and digital communication, I want us to think about like all these different ways that you can meet potential clients. So that we talked about social media, we talked about in-person networking events, and then there's also like virtual events. So like Zoom events and various things. So should a business owner adapt various ways of their introduction for the different types of events they'll be attending?
Yeah, such a good thing to discuss because you're so right that there are so many ways you can put yourself out there. And yes, I do generally think that approaches can and should be adopted based on the context, right? The setting. So think of it this way, like when you're hitting someone on Instagram, what mindset are they in? They're maybe procrastinating something. Maybe they're lying in bed, you know, but before they fall asleep, maybe they are at work and bored and just being online for a minute, like know what their mindset is when they're in that space, right? So if your strategy is to use Instagram as a tool for marketing and spreading the word about your business, just know that when people are on this platform, they are not necessarily looking to buy. Sometimes they are, but sometimes they're not. You know, LinkedIn, people are on there for career things. LinkedIn is also moving more in the direction of like a social platform now, but you know, people are on there to browse jobs, to look at promotions in the area, to check out what their colleagues are doing, right? LinkedIn is a lot about the professional. And so if you're looking to be a leadership coach, then LinkedIn might be a great platform for you because when you're encountering folks, they're already in this mindset of wanting to work on their careers versus if you're encountering someone, you know, on TikTok, like, yes, there's a lot of knowledge that gets disseminated through TikTok, but is this person in the right like mind space, right? When they're on TikTok to be thinking about their career, or are they just thinking, or are they just looking for an entertaining reel that they can send to their friends and get a good laugh out of, right? And so I do think, and it, again, it's not to say that you shouldn't be on TikTok as a leadership coach. It's though, how can you adapt your content to better suit the mindset in which people are encountering you. And so it just might be a matter of you catering your content to better fit that environment that you're in.
Awesome. You know, we talked about so many great tips for business owners to introduce themselves and making the connections and building the relationships. One thing we didn't discuss are the mistakes. So I know there's so many mistakes people make from, you know, not leaving a form of communication, a business card, or even telling the name of their business. But what are some of the main mistakes that you've heard while working with your clients?
Gosh, I hate to keep beating this dead horse here, but really, I get it so much of people talk about the service or the product that they're selling, and they talk about the features of that service or product too much. Like, so I'll give you a couple examples so you can kind of like see how this might apply for you, or maybe it doesn't, but maybe you can see some of yourself in these examples. So, you know, for me, this would look like me talking about my marketing, and I would say to someone, you know, I do social media management. I help you figure out how to introduce yourself. I will write copy for you to help you write emails that people will open, right? So these are things that I do that I work with founders on. These are the features of the solution that I am offering. Instead of like, the mistake would be to talk too much about this, like early in the stages of the conversation. The right thing to do would be to talk more about the impact of my work. So the right thing to do would be like, hey, you know, you're a founder. Have you found it challenging? Like, do you find it challenging to be, you know, trying to get your brand out there because you don't have time to do it? Like, are you on social media? Are you on email? How are you marketing yourself? Then, you know, they might say something like, oh, I'm just, you know, I am on social media, but it's like so much work. I feel like I don't have time to do it every day and also run my business and also work my side job, right? Like, if it's not enough time, then I can talk about, oh yeah, I know. Like, you know, here's how I can help you save time, et cetera, et cetera. So really coming back to what is it that you're helping this person solve for instead of talking about your actual product or service. So another way this looks, and this will be product example this time. So for example, I have a client, right? She makes wedding dresses and she is doing a really cool business model where her wedding dresses are made to measure, which means that instead of just offering dresses off the rack in different sizes, you can order from her and her wedding dresses will be made in great quality, by the way, to your sizes, to your body shape. And so this really, you know, it's just a great way to build a wedding dress, because why would you want to try to fit yourself into this dress that's off the rack for your special day? You know, here is a solution where the wedding dress can celebrate you and your body and you can feel great in it. So the mistake or the challenge is, right, like when we're selling a wedding dress, we always want to talk about, oh my gosh, it's made to measure. You know, it's you can have the wedding dress exactly to your measurements. And we talk about this so much, but really what people want to hear and what they actually care about is us saying things like, you know, we are the wedding dress brand for real women. Like, we are here to celebrate your body. We want you to see yourself reflected in the wedding industry. So if you're not a size 2 and stick thin, that's okay. Like, you know, we are here to open up that definition of what it means to be a beautiful bride. And we really want you to see yourself when you think of the bridal industry. Like, we want you to feel like you have a home here and that you can, you know, celebrate your own style and celebrate your own body and not have to like worry about how this dress is going to look on your frame. Right. So that's moving into the space. It's really like emotional versus rational is what it is. Early on in the conversation, when you're grabbing someone's attention, you want to grab them with the emotional impact of what your solution is. And then later on, once you've gotten their attention, that is where you move to the rational features. So that is where you talk about, okay, and you know, by the way, how do we make you feel beautiful in your wedding dress? We do made to measure dresses. And so we'll make the dress custom to your size, blah, blah, blah. So that's where you now move into the rational, is after you've already gotten their attention.
Perfect. Thank you so much for sharing that. And, you know, I was sitting here and I was thinking, I was like, okay, yes, these are mistakes that people make. First part of your response, mistakes people would make in their introduction. And I know earlier we discussed relationship building. In order to build a relationship, you have to continue the communication. So what tips can you provide for a business owner to ensure they're following up? Because in the traditional realm of networking, the number one networking mistake is the failure to follow up. So any other tips you can provide for someone to touch base after meeting that potential client?
Yeah, totally. It is really important to follow up. Something that has been scientifically proven is how much easier it is to engage with someone again, like someone who already has met you or has already purchased from you or has already given you some of their time and energy. It's so much easier to get them to give you more versus you going out there and finding a completely new person who has no idea who you are and trying to build a relationship with the new person, right? So it is really important to maintain relationships, because once you have someone's attention and trust, it's like a lot easier to build off that. So how do you follow up? I think it depends on the platform, right? And where you're finding this person. Digitally, I would say the best way is always if you can move their contact information or the way you're having conversations into a space that you own. And so what this looks like is usually email or, you know, like actually getting on a call with them, like a Zoom call or something. Like being on the social media platforms and the LinkedIns and all of that is wonderful. And it's great visibility because you're present in these channels where there's like tons of people, but you don't own those channels. And if one day something happened to your account, or, you know, you can lose those contacts. And so you really want to bring those contacts into a space that you own, which would be like your own email list, or just have a way of collecting their information that is, you know, housed in your own system, your own files, et cetera. For in-person relationships, which is a lot of what I do for my business, it's just about staying in touch, you know, like shooting some, getting someone's number. I like to do numbers because for me, it's like more personal of a relationship. So getting someone's number and just texting them afterwards, if they're a person of interest, to say, hey, great to meet with you. A lot of times before I leave an event, if I do meet someone that I'm interested in staying in touch with, I will, while I'm still there, I will seed the idea of our next meeting right before I leave. So while I'm there, you know, in the conversation, I'll say, hey, like, we should grab coffee and like talk more about this. And so you already are seeding this idea that you're going to have a next meeting. And I think you can do this digitally too. You know, if you open a conversation with someone on LinkedIn or in the DMs or something, like, or even an email, but seeding the idea that, okay, like there's going to be a next meeting is a great way to set that expectation, first of all, and then to just make it really natural to follow up with them. Hey, I know we talked about grabbing coffee, like loved meeting you the other night. Let me know what your schedule looks like next week. Would love to grab coffee. Would love to grab that coffee we talked about. You know, it just makes it really easy and it makes it feel less intrusive sometimes to be like, hey, you know, want to grab that coffee? If you've already spoken about it, then it just feels like more natural.
Definitely a less stressful approach, sounds like. And I know so many people will probably use that suggestion. So thank you so much for sharing. Cindy, I know we are towards the end of the show, and I so much appreciate you being here and sharing your expertise. I know there's so many people who are going to take heed and take notes and maybe reach out. So a lot of people have trouble in this area of communication, and I certainly appreciate your approach to branding, and it sounds like you're very dedicated. So I wish you much success to your business and what you are doing.
Thank you.
Do you have anything else you'd like to share with us today?
The last thing I'll share is just that whatever you took away from this conversation, parts that resonated, parts that didn't, like just embrace whatever it is that you resonated with and leave the rest. I think the number one mistake, and this is like beyond branding and marketing, but I truly think the number one mistake that everyone makes when starting a business, like myself included, is we're so hungry to learn. And sometimes it's like we're trying to drink, you know, from the fire extinguisher or the fire hose. Like we're casting too wide a net of people to learn from and things to learn. And so what I have found to be the most effective thing in building my own business and my clients is to really focus on what resonates with you and just leave the rest. Like focus on your strengths from a marketing standpoint. Do you like to be in person to build relationships? Do you like to be online? Like you don't need to be doing everything at once, even though all the sources on the internet will tell you that you do. And even though all the people that you follow, who you look up to, who are further along in business than you and have teams managing their brands, they will all be everywhere, and you will feel like you have to do the same thing, but you don't. Like, keep in mind where you are at in your business journey and what resources you have at your disposal and what feels easiest and achievable to you. Because the worst thing that we can do is set ourselves up for failure and try to do too much and end up not being able to do any of it or not being able to keep up with any of it. So that's all I like to say. It's just like, you know, don't worry. Don't do too much. Just like focus on the things that you care about. Focus on the things that feel fun and easy for you and play to your strengths. And in the beginning, really, like that's what you want to focus on until you have more support and you can expand your areas of focus.
Thanks for listening. Stay connected with Angel online on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Miss RMBA. That's MISSRMBA. Be sure to subscribe and review. Join us next time as we continue to empower you through milestones, motivation, and money.